2 Corinthians chapter 11, and from verse 21 to the end of the chapter, verse 33. Paul continues with his boasting. Now let me remind you why he's doing this. It's in verse 12 of this chapter. I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us, and so on. He's talking about the law teachers. And so serious is this matter, so important, so vital, so necessary for these Corinthians to understand. We have this tremendously long section of scripture where Paul is doing something most unusual. He's bragging and boasting in the face of these law teachers. He's spoken of power. He's spoken of sufferings. He's speaking of many things here. What is he speaking of here? His pedigree, his background, his upbringing, his experience, his sufferings. These things are all linking together. And why is he doing it? Because he's taking these law teachers on the very ground upon which they stand. You'll find a parallel passage in Philippians chapter 3 from verse 2 to verse 12. He does the same thing there for the same purpose. As I say, he slugs it out, as it were, with these law teachers and hammers them because he wants the Corinthians to come back into the new covenant, into the liberty in Jesus, into the joy of Jesus, into the power of the Spirit of God. These law teachers will take the Corinthians to the old condemning covenant, 2 Corinthians 3, the obsolete covenant, the covenant that Christ came under and fulfilled, the covenant of flesh, and he wants the Corinthians to come back into the realm of the Spirit, the glorious new covenant ministry. In fact, that could be the title over all these sections, the glorious new covenant ministry. And here is one of the glories of it. Notice the inverted nature of the glory of the new covenant. The lawmen boast of their power, their experience, this and that and the other. Are they Hebrews, he says here? Are they Israelites? Are they Abraham's descendants? Well, they may have been Jews. They may have been Jewish proselytes. But whatever they were, they couldn't match the apostles' pedigree as far as Jewishness goes. Paul, as he told the Philippians, was a real Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. So am I, so am I. Are they the servants of Christ? And then verse 23, I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I'm going mad here. Because he's taking these people on their own grounds. Now let me pause here. This is not a historical lecture. The lawmen are about still. We'll never be rid of them. Jesus said the poor will always be with you. He says we'll always have lawmen who want to bring believers under the law. The fathers did it, the middle fathers, the later fathers. They went back to the old covenant and began the terrible mess, inflicting this terrible damage on the churches. Sacraments, clergy, hierarchy, power politics. All these things we see today, a million miles away from the New Testament, the New Covenant ecclesias. They met in houses, probably. They were small, almost certainly. They were weak, corporate in their worship and fellowship and service and study of Scripture. Of course, they had individual experience, but they're much more corporate and mutual. Whole-body ministry, priesthood of all believers in action. All that's gone out of the window, by and large, by this going back to the old covenant. And of course, in the matter of sanctification, in the matter of assurance, in the matter of preparing sinners for Christ, back to the law, 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 law. Now I want to take the battle back to the lawmen today. I've said before, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an apostle. I can't have the authority, I don't want the authority, I'm not seeking it, that this man had. He could be blunt and plain and clear. I can only preach upon these words, talk upon them. What do I say? Well, as the lawmen accuse people like me of antinomianism, and I glory in it, unless you can be accused of antinomianism, you don't understand the gospel and you don't preach it properly. But I take the thing back to the lawmen now. You know your danger, don't you? It's pride. It's boasting. It's bragging. Oh, yes, it is. If you get assurance by your works, if you talk about observing the Christian Sabbath, and I've been there, is there no danger of pride and boasting and legalism? Of course there is a risk of it. And I take the battle back to them. I warn you, like you warned me of antinomianism, now I glory in that, in the sense that you mean it. It's not real antinomianism at all, is it? It's gracism, it's Christism, it's spiritism, if you like, the real spirit of God. It's the new covenantism, that's what it is. But I'll buy it. Antinomian, you call me. Then remember this. In the spirit of this passage, think about legalism, pride, bragging and boasting, as well as all the suffering and bondage and treadmill and fear and doubt and worry that you produce to believers, and the conformity instead of commitment to Christ. Look how Paul powers on. Look at all the sufferings I've been through. Look what I've experienced. Have these men gone this way, he says? Tremendous catalogue of lashings, shipwreck, dangers, physical dangers, bandits, open sea, dangers from Jews and Gentiles in the country, in the town, wherever it might be. I've laboured and toiled on, laboured to the point of exhaustion, often gone without sleep, hungry, thirsty, gone without food, cold, naked, no money. And of course, the spiritual concern for all the churches. Who's weak and I don't feel weak? Who's led into sin and I don't inwardly burn? He's caught up with the people. In his weakness, in his nothingness, he longs to be a blessing to people. And of course, it's all in the ministry of Christ, in the ministry of the Spirit. And what a closing paragraph. It's just such a remarkable paragraph in all Scripture. I'll tell you about my weakness, he says. I had to run away when I was at Damascus, and they let me down in a basket to escape trouble. That's how big a man I am. I don't come with insights and bigness in myself. Oh, I'm an apostle, and he'll go on to that in the next chapter. But the truth is, in himself and in the New Covenant ministry, the glorious New Covenant ministry, is not by might, is not by power, is not by tradition, is not by this so-called background and training. It's by the Spirit of God. So, the relevance of all this today? We want more of this lowness, madness, weakness, this insignificantness. We want more of the new covenant. We want all the new covenant. We want to get away from the forms and ceremonies, the sacraments, the clergy, the hierarchies, the bigness, the power politics, and the legalism, and the lawmen of the lawmen and their law teaching. I'm so glad that Paul gave us these extended passages. He shows us the importance of this subject. It's not an academic debate only. Sinners and their salvation depend on it. I mean that. Pointing men to law. Point them to Christ. Point them to Christ. And the welfare of the saints. How many saints are lacking assurance, in doubt, because they don't have a law work before conversion, and now they don't have a law work sufficient after conversion, when all the time they should be looking to Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. That's not just a chorus, you know. It comes twice in the letter to the Hebrews. Read Colossians chapter 3. Set your affections on things above where Christ is. Think of Christ. Paul here, in this very personal passage, is slugging it out with the law teachers because he knows he must cut the ground from under them. The law must not gain the day. It must be the gospel. It must be grace. It must be Christ. It must be the Spirit. May we learn from this in our times. Unbeliever, look to Jesus. Child of God, keep walking with Jesus, trusting in him, rejoicing in him, looking to him for everything. For Christ is all.